Senate come to order.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Wednesday, February 22nd. Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll. Amrick.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines. Jennings.
Here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Martin,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Anderson,
here.
Driscoll,
excused.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Gilbert.
I was sitting in my chair when I saw a family walk in here, and the first person who walked in was a little boy. And he looked around, and his eyes got wide, and his mouth opened, and his facial expression said to me, "Wow. What a wonderful place." Sometimes when we become so accustomed to a place, we forget that wow. Let us pray. Omnipresent and holy God, sometimes we have the notion that the only place to worship you is in a sanctuary consecrated to you. Expand our understanding to affirm your universal presence to be experienced everywhere, as here in this state capital. Expand our understanding to affirm that worship is not only the singing of hymns, the saying of prayers, and the listening to sermons or homilies, but also includes the consideration of bills and the balancing of budgets. May all our words and all our works be expressions of our worship of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Grant us the vision to see that budgets are not ends in themselves, but means to a far greater good. The Holy Scriptures inform us that money itself is not evil, nor is it holy, but the end to which it is used is. Grant us grace and wisdom to manage money and not be managed by it, and to know that inner joy of wisely using available resources for the well-being of your whole created order, the land, the creatures, and all your children. And all who were able in unison said, Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading clerk, please read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 21st, 2012, has been read and recommends that it be approved, Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Joseph McGinley from Casper. Our nurse for the day is Penny Eichel. Penny's from Sheridan. On this day in Wyoming history, in 1897, there was a proclamation by President Cleveland that created the Bighorn National Forest. Our thought for the day comes from the Bible. Above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in life. We're looking forward here upon arrival to a real distinguished guest, and I believe, as usual, he's right on time. So we're going to wait for a minute. Members of the body, it's my pleasure to welcome Senator John Barrasso back to the Wyoming Legislature. Right there will be fine. I want to finish my statement. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Senator Barrasso served in the legislature from 2002 until 2006 before being sworn into the United States Senate in 2007. He is currently serving on the U.S. Senate's Energy and Natural Resources Committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, the Indian Affairs Committee, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He also serves as the chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Committee and as chairman of the Senate Western Caucus. Please join me in welcoming again United States Senator John Barrasso. John.
It is great to be back. It is absolutely terrific to be here. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it. Bill, I hope that desk is as clean as it should be. I came from an inspection. The main thing I want to do, I brought two headlines with me. I know, Kit, you're not surprised I brought headlines. One is from the Gillette News Record. This is since you last met. Best run state in U.S. is Wyoming. Second year in a row. The other one, this is from the Cheyenne Wyoming Tribune Eagle. Report ranks Wyoming as most financially sound. I mean, this is where we are, and this is because of all of you. There's another one, actually, this is income here is sixth highest, per capita income in Wyoming, sixth highest in the country. And then you take a look at the other states that are kind of the top five, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Maryland, New York, and then Wyoming. So the places that are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are places with a cost of living that is a lot higher, the quality of life is a lot lower. So that means Wyoming is the best place in the country to be, period. And then, of course, I think it's because of the wisdom of this body that it's the best place. And it's true because, you know what works. Low taxes, reasonable regulations, and a balanced budget every year. That's what happens. That's what works. And in Washington, I mean, it's fascinating. They don't seem to get it. I keep saying Wyoming gets it right, Washington gets it wrong. But that's it. You wake up every day and you say, what do I need to do to improve the quality of life for the people of Wyoming? I wake up every day in Washington and say, what do I have to stop from happening here in Washington so it doesn't make the quality of life in Wyoming worse? And that's what Mike and Cynthia and I do every day, and we've all had the privilege of serving in this body and been educated by each of you. And if you think we haven't remembered the lessons, you call us. It's the same cell phone number, the same email address. Continue to hear from many of you. It's the same email from when I was in the legislature. I pay for it now, but and last night I got the daily legislative update from the Wyoming Education Association. So I know what you're doing. I get a chance to follow along everything. But I just wanted to be here, and Bobby joins me in just thanking you for sticking to Wyoming vision and Wyoming values. And we know that, and we've talked about this, some of us individually, the strings attached to what comes out of Washington. You just have to say, that's if it's not within our vision and not within our values, we don't want to be tied down by those strings. Some of the things that Mike and Cynthia and I need to stop every day are new laws that they want to pass, but for the most part, it's regulations that are burdensome, expensive, and time-consuming. And as I travel the state, that's what I hear from the job creators in the country. In our state, they don't have the certainty that they need, and they continue to deal with regulations and paperwork that makes it much harder. I would like to discuss the health care law, but Charlie Scott and I don't have enough time to do that today. It would take forever. I do want to say that it's a privilege to represent the people of Wyoming. It's a privilege to have served in this body. Mike and Cynthia and I always talk about the education that we got here and how much difference it makes in our lives, and the friendships that we have here continue to this day. So thanks so much for inviting me back. You have important work to do. It's always great to be with you. Thank
you. Senator Barrasso, on behalf of the Wyoming legislature, we wish you continued success in serving Wyoming in the United States Senate. And again, we thank you once again for traveling all the way to Cheyenne to visit with us. You're welcome back anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 65, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 64, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 55, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 49, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 21st, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 59, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Platern. No, Senator Hastert, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 18, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Platern. No, Senator Hastert, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 21st, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 87, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Platern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 97, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Platern. No, Senator Hastert, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 20th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 107, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladeren, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 21st, 2012, Mr. President, Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 92, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott. No, Senator Case. Senator Case, Chairman. February the 21st, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 82, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Case, Emmerich, Hines, and Perkins. Senator Hines, Chairman. February the 21st, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 83, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hines, and Perkins. No, Senator Case. Senator Hines, Chairman.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Senate File 65 has an appropriation, Applied Agriculture Research Funding Program, and it needs to be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Thank you. The request is that Senate File 65 be re-referred from Ag to Committee Number 2 Appropriations. Are there any objections? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate, I'd like to introduce to you a family that came down from Casper. They made that little window yesterday when the roads were open and were able to come down here today, and because it was important to them to come to the legislature and have an opportunity to testify on some legislation that was important to them. And it's just I'd like you to welcome them to the Senate, the Ryman family from Casper.
Thank you, Senator. Bill's on second reading. Yes, Senator Case.
May I also have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Mr. President, thank you. I'd like to introduce a very special young man. He's one of those fellows that wasn't born here, but he got to Wyoming as soon as he could. He was rescued in Russia along with his brother when he was 1 year old. And it's hard to imagine, but this little guy weighed 9 pounds at 1 year. And his brother was even smaller, and his brother could not crawl or walk at a year old. So I'd like to introduce Stevie Price and his mother, who's my main squeeze, Lisa. And Stephen's been a beneficiary of the waiver program in Wyoming, which has supported him and continues to support him. His brother has improved so much that he doesn't need the benefits of the waiver anymore, but it's one of those remarkable things that has supported this young
man. Senator Case, would you put Stevie up on the bench so we can have an eye-to-eye look here? Welcome.
Time for planning.
Bill's on second reading, I believe. Senate File 105, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 105, School Capital Construction.
And there is an amendment, and the amendment that I have in hand, amendment number one, is the Kobe Bout Rothfuss Amendment. I'd ask if that be read in at this time.
Senate File 105, second reading, amendment number one.
Senator Coe, would you like to move this amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 105. This is to continue the discussion we had on Committee of the Whole yesterday on school CapCon. What this amendment does is it comes in like we talked about yesterday, some of us did, about unbundling all the Casper projects that we see in the capital construction side is somewhere around $165 million. So this amendment, as you start going down it on page 1 of the amendment on line 15, you'll see where we insert $5.5 million. That goes into the design phase for project number 19 on the needs list, that being Natrona County High School. We reshuffle with the rest of the language, but the other stuff that's pertinent on page 1 is starting on line 25, page 9 after line 8. This is where we reshuffle the design monies. And you'll see there at the bottom, we end up with $15 million total for Natrona, that being priority 19, and another $11,500,000 for priority 5, which is Kelly Walsh. Now, this is the school that we're proceeding with to build as soon as possible. This is where the $108 million, and remember, we appropriated $108 million last year in this legislature. If you think about logistically, Kelly Walsh and Natrona, I don't really believe that Natrona is going to be ready for construction, even if we funded it today for a year. So that reshuffles all the design money. Then we get into the capital construction side of the amendment. Most of it is just reshuffling of language based on priorities. If you go to page 2 of the amendment, on line 8, page 15, line 14 and 15, we delete. That takes out the $165,806,139, the big, huge number that we saw on the capital construction side. We reprioritize and come up with the projects that come on board, and you'll see those starting on line 12. Fremont 2 High School, $13,685,000, that's Dubois. Sweetwater 1, K-12 School, $25 million and change, that's Eden-Farson. Albany 1 High School, $62,145,000, that's Laramie. Fremont 24, K-12 School, $45 million, that's a lot of money for Shoshone, but that's the K-12 school in Shoshone. And finally, the elementary school in Sheridan 2. That's $14,908,465. Those projects come online. Then we get into paragraph D. This is where we focus the CapCon dollars on the Kelly Walsh project, that being priority number 5. The rest of the amendment is pretty much just conforming language as we reshuffle the deck a little bit and we unbundle this project. And this is difficult. You know, this is a hard call. I can only tell you that I feel strongly about the Casper projects. I want to see them built. I don't think we should have bundled these all together. It never happened any other place in school districts in the state that I'm aware of where we've taken them and put them all together like that. I ask that you support the amendment and would encourage my co-sponsors to speak as well.
Thank you, Senator Cole. Co-sponsor, Senator Nicholas, would you like to speak to this as well?
Mr. Chairman, I have. It was the most fun conversation we had yesterday all session, and we ought to continue it. The folks, I'd urge you to resist this amendment. I gave you a handout that came out, and last evening I went back and dug through the budget information for the last 4 or 5 years to talk about what happened and how we arrived here. When you look at needs indexes, the needs indexes are a part of the school facilities assessment, and at the end of the day, after the commission pulls together a recommendation, they put it into a budget recommendation, and the budget recommendation then goes to the select committee. Select committee delivers that to JAC. So when you go back to the 2009 budget you've heard, you see if you turn over the next page that beginning in 2009, the Natrona 1 Kelly Walsh and NCHS were tied together as what was called Priority 25. Now, what you've heard about is this sort of needs indexing that where there's facilities that are somehow the NCHS jumped from 66 up to 55. A number of things were happening during this time, but one of the things that folks from Casper will remember, in response to legislative initiative, they increased the or they decreased the student loan to 17-1 in their elementaries. When they did that, they pushed their sixth graders up to the junior high, and they took their ninth grade and put them into the high school, and they inundated their high school with a huge number of people, creating a capacity problem. And about this time, the capacity issue with respect to Natronic became apparent. And it was in 2009 then that the budgets puts the two projects together. It hit the budget. Then you Joint Appropriations Committee presentation. This goes back to January 11th. And you can see when you take a look at that area, once again, the planning money, 7.3 for KW and Natrona are lumped together again at priority number 25. Then you go to last year's budget that we all voted on it. You see the front page of the budget sheet, and you turn over and you see that we voted on there. It says Natrona continuation of high school projects with a plural, and read the footnote. School Facilities Commission may transfer funds between the projects funded under Needs Index Priority 25 pursuant to paragraph Romanet 7 of this subsection to as necessary to complete the previously selected remedies of two high school buildings, an alternative high school, and a shared high school facility. Folks, we debated this. It got put into the budget last year. We voted on it, and we sent it out. Now, with respect to the recommendations that were brought to us, you can see the next page are the 2012 recommendations from the Facilities Department to us. You turn over to page 2, and you see that Natrona's are the recommended projects together. They're in terms of the condition needs index, it says previous because they were previously assigned needs index and moving on to the schedule. The very last sheet, what I've done is on the left hand, I've written down the 2009 needs index. So if you look at the 2009 needs index, now the 2009 needs index, remember, had about 30% built into capacity. And remember again, the capacity changed drastically in 2 years when the ninth graders went to the high school. Having said that, Natrona at the time was 66. Interestingly enough, who's 67 that you're now offering to pay? Shoshone. They were never above or below to be funded before Natrona County High School. And if you look at the Laramie High School, now that you're going to fund, it was 154. Never once did Albany County believe that their school was a higher needs index than Natrona. Now, one of the problems that we had in 2010 that led to part of this was this whole reshuffling, because we took the needs component out. Natrona schools stayed high. But in that year, we gave the department a block.
Senator Nicholas, you're up on your 5 minutes, and what I will do, I'll give you 2.5 minutes out of your second time, if you'd like.
Okay, but so much fun.
So go ahead, 2.5 minutes.
Thank you. So when we did the needs index, or in 2010, they shuffled the deck. They took the needs component out. The Trona High School stayed bundled. They stayed together, and they stayed high. Now, that's not a JAC recommended. It was a facilities commission. And that was where it was. Now, what we did is gave them a block grant, and they went around. They started half schools here. They started Sheridan. They did about half of Sheridan before they ran out of money. They went up and did, they were picking and choosing, trying to figure out who was shovel ready. And it was a nightmare. We called an end to it. And we came back and said, we're going to start funding the projects in priority with complete funding, regardless of when you begin. And that's what we're doing today. That's the recommendation. Stay with the recommendation of the process. I urge you to defeat the amendment.
Thank you. Senator Meyer, go ahead.
President, I didn't speak on this yesterday. I thought it was a good discussion, but folks, we basically went right straight down the line with what the Facilities Commission did. We put in a lot more money than what the governor wanted in capital construction. That everybody is going to get either built this year or next year. Now, the question is whether you're going to do really anything in Casper, because if you disaggregate them, their plan's not going to work. And so all of their schools will probably be just put on hold till next year, and you're just going to bounce all these guys in front of Casper. So, you know, it works for them. They figured out how it's going to work, how all schools can be put together and how the kids can get a good education in that town for this year. All the schools that are on the second page here, there's enough money in the goldenrod. Build every one of them. Actually, this year, if you just want to say, okay, we're going to fund everything this year. We can't build every school in one year. You just can't. We just don't have the workforce to do that. It just doesn't work. We haven't got enough contractors. You can't have a boom and bust cycle in the contracting cycle. And that's why we're trying to level this thing out. You know, there's $298 million coming in the next year. So, you know, there's plenty of money for everybody next year, but you can't build every one of them this year. So don't worry about it. You're probably going to get a better school anyway because of the square footage formula. More likely than not, it's going to change in the next year or two. I hope that our little school in Lingle that's been on since Bubba Shibler that hasn't been built and proceeded, I hope we can wait 2 or 3 years on that one, that it gets extended out so the square footage formula will definitely change. And then we'll build a school we can be proud of instead of one of these little cracker boxes that you'll probably get if you jump ahead of Casper. So, you know, have it your way. The thing is, you can't build them all in one day.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burns, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment. Mr. President, I've got a question going the other direction, but before that, last night, I had dinner with about seven of the school facilities managers from different school districts all over the state. And one of the things they pointed out to me, and this is the question I have for those who want, I guess, to kill the amendment and go ahead with the legislation. This is from the School Facilities Commission meeting in November of 2011, and Natrona County High School, they want to put in that the facility of the school will be 258,000 square feet. Kelly Walsh, 224,000 square feet. That I can understand. What their question to me, and I've got for somebody else here, is the cost per square foot. The average cost per square foot in the state right now for schools is $220 a square foot. The proposed square foot cost for Kelly Walsh is $369 a square foot, and the proposed square foot cost for Natrona County is $424.85, basically $425 a square foot. I think that should go back to the drawing board, because I don't quite understand. I'd like somebody to explain to me why that cost is so much greater. I understand from the explanation yesterday they want to redo one of the schools. They want to redo the inside of the school. And this is the state's money, folks. If it's going to cost that much more, I don't think we should do it.
Thank you. Senator Bebout, first time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and in favor of the amendment. And members of the Senate, it's really good to know that the chairman of the Appropriations Committee is supporting a process, and Albany County 1 loses in that process. I'm going to remember this day forever. The thing I want to bring to everyone's attention is, and I think it just points out the difficulty in what we're dealing with here. And if you go back to the 2009 budget, and there's no question that it was talked about, and I've got the minutes from the School Facilities Commission and what they did, and they put them together. But the cost at that particular time was $98 million for the Kelly Walsh, the Natrona County schools. And then in 2010, we went in and we added $14 million more in the budget, and I'm not sure what that was for. It doesn't really say. I guess it might have been design money. Excuse me, I'm not sure, but there's $14 million. And then when we go to the 2011 budget, and you looked at those numbers provided by the Joint Appropriations Committee, the amount they're looking for is $84 million. You look at the most recent sheet that we have, and you look at that sheet, and we show for Kelly Walsh $56 million, Natrona $69 million, And so what we have, members of the Senate, is the projects that we thought were going to cost around $100 million, and now they're $273 million. And so the issue is not so much the timing, but how do we get to the point where we're anticipating one thing, and today we're dealing with this, and the colleague from Bighorn County, or Sheridan County, really makes a good point. And so I think there's a lot of different issues here. One is the prioritization, and you can sure argue that obviously it's confusing, and you can see where I can make a good argument by changing it because of the information I was provided that came from the School Facilities Commission, and now you have the information in the budget bill that was provided. But over and above that is the cost. And so I haven't had an answer to that particular thing about the cost, and that's one of the areas I think we should sure be talking about. And nobody questions the needs in Natrona County. That's not what this is all about. And it's not about the needs of the other schools. And what we haven't talked about, Mr. President, are the other schools that seem to be left out of this that are just as important, Bighorn, Campbell 1, Carbon 1, and Laramie 1, and Crook 1. You know, no one's mentioned those because I think the costs there are reasonable. And maybe that's why they haven't risen to the level of the discussions about Natrona County. So that's a concern. That's why we do this. And I think all of us would agree that the best way to handle with that kind of money going to one particular place for one construction season and the issues to the students is to phase it in. And I think that's something that will happen. And I think that should go forward. Whether this amendment fails or not, I would hope that the School Facilities Commission would be very prudent in how they approach this and start with Kelly Walsh, work away so that the students are not affected negatively and we are able to use Wyoming contractors. The last thing that I would point to, Mr. President, is when you look at the list that was recently provided to us, it just talks about Kelly Walsh and Natrona. They don't mention Roosevelt. They don't mention the CAPS. So are they really included or are they not included? I would ask that you support the amendment.
Senator Scott, go ahead, sir.
Mr. President, speaking on and against the amendment, I want to take a little different tact here. We've got a program here that in many ways is similar to the program we voted on yesterday, day before, in the water area. You know, we started out with a little bit of legislative special pleading, essentially pork barrel log rolling, on projects. And we promptly learned that if we were going to accomplish things, we needed to have a regular system. We've got a Water Development Commission parallel to the School Facilities Commission. We've got a select committee that's parallel there in the way the legislature's handled it. And we have avoided the pork barrel local special interest approach in that. And it has enabled us to have an effective water development program. And we listen to the bills every year. We tend not to amend them. It is a routine process, and it works. We were on track in developing that for this school thing. And there's another similarity. The projects, Mr. President, tend to be big in the nature of things. I'm appalled at how expensive these high schools are, but that's the nature of it, and that's true all over the state. We're a larger school district, a larger project. It's the number of kids involved. What we are doing with this amendment, we in Natrona have followed the process. We've taken our lumps in the process in the past, but we've followed it. But if the system is going to be that we ignore what the process produces and see if we can put together a log rolling coalition down here on the floor, Mr. President, that's what's going on, and it doesn't work. It's going to lead to a disaster in this area. It's going to lead to the whole thing being a failed mess. So think what you're doing here. Let's stick with the recommendations that the process has produced Let's defeat this amendment. Let's try to get the school facilities into the kind of professional recommendation situation where we've avoided the political log rolling, similar to what we've had in the water program, because otherwise this whole thing simply isn't going to work, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Jennings, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. When we look at all the different numbers, again, like we talked about yesterday, we're the cause of some of those changes in the prices. Because this process has been going on so long that we've gone in and legislatively changed what's required in the buildings. That obviously goes back and changes the prices, too. So there's been, we have to take some of that responsibility to changes. But I'd like to set all the history and that part of the facilities aside for a minute and think what we went through in 2006. We worked hard on a recalibration bill. And one of the things that we heard over and over in that recalibration bill was more money attracts better teachers, better staff, better administrators. Now we're into this accountability thing to see if that's really working. But we believe in Casper that we have pulled in some pretty good people into our system. And what Natrona County 1 did is they went out and they brought these experts to the table. And they said, let's be innovative. Let's figure out a way to best educate our children. And they did. And it took a year or something. I mean, it took a long time to do this. Lots of input from the community, lots of input from business, lots of input from parents. And they gathered all this information together, and they said, this is the system that will work. Well, the problem is that system isn't defined in what we're doing. So they packed up and they came down here, and they presented a bundled approach, a new idea, innovative in education. Let's try it. And when you say that it's not on the list and you want to debundle it, well, debundle it. But that whole idea, the innovation that we encourage those educators and community to put together, that this is the result of it. And they worked hard at it and put it together. I was kind of surprised when our colleague from Laramie yesterday made the mention, and I'd heard this around, I'll quote him, that the director doesn't think that this educational approach will work. Well, excuse me, Mr. Director, but you're not an education expert. You're a construction expert. If we're going to go there and put the educational requirement on somebody that we hired for their construction expertise, what about all the experts that we have at the table in Natrona County that have been working on this? And so I think there's a bias there by the director. He doesn't like the approach. So every time we've turned around, we've had a little roadblock there. But go back to what we told the education community to do. Bring in better people. Take the money we've given you. Find better teachers, better educators, and then come tell us what to do and how to make it better. This is a prime example of a community coming together, doing exactly what we put in front of them and saying, here's what will work for us, and now we're going to pick it to pieces and tell them no. We'll phase you in. Well, if you phase this building in and that building in, you're destroying the concept. And then we can go back and say, see, it didn't work. I would hope that you would defeat this amendment, encourage our educators to have the innovation to explore and come back to us with new ideas. And this is one of them, and we should support their idea, defeat the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Jennings. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we've heard a lot about the process and about maintaining the process, and I do believe that the process itself is important. And really, Mr. President, that's my biggest concern with what we see here, is how it's played in the process. Because we have a process in place where each of the schools is ranked on a needs index. That needs index actually has changed over the years, and that's caused a lot of heartburn. But we're in a situation right now where in 2011, when you look at the needs index for the individual schools, and that's how they do it. They don't just say the Natrona project has a needs index, because they look at buildings when they assess needs indexes. They consider them separate entities when they do those evaluations. And the needs index in 2011 has Kelly Walsh High School at number 5, Natrona County High School at number 19, and the Roosevelt High School at 25. So 5, 19, and 25 are the real needs indexes when you consider them as individual schools. Now, if we want to uphold that process and not circumvent the process, that means respecting the real needs indexes and fulfilling the funding requirements for those entities based on their priority in the formula. The process, the importance of the process is essential to get away from that pork barreling of looking at specific special needs for districts, of trying to do some of the things that we've heard stories about in the past, and we're trying to work away from that, Mr. President. The only problem I think we've seen in the process since it's been adopted is this concept of aggregation, of bundling the schools together. It's the only concern I've had with the process. You know, we have some debates, we have some negotiation, there are issues, we have concerns that we'll no doubt talk about in the interim for the School Facilities Committee. But the only problem with the process of the implementation that I've seen is this concept of bundling. Taking three independent schools, putting them together, and calling them one need. And I recognize some of the concerns about not fulfilling an entire project. You know, obviously, if you build half a school, that's a real problem. If we get ourselves in a situation where we're allocating funds in such a manner where we end up with half a school and no money, that is a problem, Mr. President. But we're talking about individual schools here. I can build, as steps, three schools, and I know we can do that because that's how we do it in every other circumstance. Nobody else has ever bundled before. There's no case coming through the system where we have bundling. And the concern, obviously, and it's reasonable that this goes back in history, that the bundling occurred. There was a lot of confusion with how it proceeded. We've seen the funds change dramatically from a beginning of somewhere around $98 million, which we apparently decided to accept at that time. We saw in the previous budget another number of $84 million for this kind of aggregate remedy, which we were apparently able to accept at that time. But now the second half, or it's even more than that, the final two-thirds of that funding is coming at us of an additional over $150 million. And, Mr. President, now we're a little bit concerned with this process because it does not seem like it has been adequately and fairly represented as it's gone through the system, and it is our right to look back at that and say, do we want to do this as an aggregate and set that precedence so that when the next school district comes along and says, I've got three high school projects, they have different rankings in the system, but I'd like to bundle those to my highest ranking because it's easier for us and we have an innovative idea. What are we going to say to that district? Well, we pretty much have to do that. Let's load up another $250 million. We have priorities, Mr. President, that are based on the needs of schools. And if we don't continue to respect that process, as we've done in the past, and show a demonstration here through this amendment that we're going to continue to respect that process, then we will be circumventing it in the future, and we will have additional school districts coming at us with innovative projects that basically fly in the face of the system. We can certainly change the system, but until we do that, let's stick with this process, Mr. President, and maintain that disaggregation of the schools.
Thank you. Senator Landon.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. To my good friend from Albany County, I would just say that you make some very good points, obviously. You know, I wonder why in September and October we forwarded this placeholder recommendation to the Joint Appropriations when we really had no intention of coming down here on the floor of the Senate and supporting it. You know, the fact is that's what we did. That's what we recommended. And as the tall senator from Natrona County said, that is the process. And that's what we've established to try to get a handle on all this. In answer to the question that you posed, Senator, regarding, you know, innovation in the future and school districts coming to us with good ideas and the idea of bundling something, I hope we will listen. I really do. This bundling concept, what it really does, it takes this whole idea of professional education, and it is fed by every one of those high schools. And we're going to try to prepare some students for many of the jobs that our state has. It's something new, and it's got to be fed by all of those schools. And that's why they brought it to Cheyenne, was to try to come up with something a little bit different that might work. You know, I want to talk about something that has been alluded to. The words used are reshuffling and reprioritizing, which we're proposing to do with this amendment. We want to reprioritize what the facilities and the joint appropriation have come to us with. And so I think it begs the question, what are those new priorities? So I looked it up. Here's the new priorities. We're going to go to Fremont twice, and we're going to go to Albany once, Sweetwater and Sheridan. And only one of those schools is ready to accept any money and move forward. Only one. Two or three of them, under current status, it says none. And that means they haven't even executed any planning for those schools. So we're going to leapfrog the state's biggest high school, and we're going to go, the one high school that is ready is up in the northern part of Fremont County, where we're going to build a $16 million high school for 59 students. That's a conversation for another day. But the fact is, that's effectively what this amendment does, ladies and gentlemen. It not only circumvents the process and comes to the floor of the Senate with the argument that we should reprioritize and reshuffle, but it also effectively gives the money in a different direction. You know, I think we need to stay with the process, folks. This is a big project. It's tough to swallow. I understand that, and I respect that. But I urge you to defeat this amendment.
Senator Nicholas, Mr. Vice President, go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to wrap up. Folks, I want to talk about a few things quickly. Each time you hear folks that are familiar with the needs indexing come in, you need to demand that they give you the full explanation. And if you want to go back to the 2009 indexing, I've already described it, what the issues were, how they were affected. We know that all the ninth graders went up. It was changed. When you look at today's needs indexing, there is no capacity component in it. And that means that the committee has to evaluate separately the capacity. It's not ignored. It's evaluated separately. So being down on 25 on your needs index and having a capacity issue might drive you higher. Wonderful arguments, and I hope you made them to your colleagues last summer and you fought with them with earnestness, and if you lost it and the bill went forward on a recommendation, so be it. We were provided this recommendation and we funded it. You know, if JAC is criticized for anything, is for reorganizing work that was designed by the committees, by our select committees, and putting our own priorities into it. You don't like it when it does it. We contact minerals committees. We say, what were your priorities? We implement your priorities. We go to the select committees. We say, give us your work, and we'll implement your work. And that's what we did. And by gosh, we're going to defend it here. The time and place for that vehement argument, for every one of you, you don't like the process, go to the commission, jump up, scream, and argue. Go to the select committee, jump up, scream, and argue, then live with the process. The problem I have is a lot of this stuff was never even heard, never even debated. First time it ever gets here is to reshuffle, and the reshuffling is happening here. This is not the place to reshuffle. It's a big project, and you see the dollars being eaten up, but that's not the way we prioritize. If you're in priority, what I can tell you is this. The square footage they're allowed is designed by statute, and that's what they got. The cost of construction is $227 a square foot, maybe adjusted, but it's the same square footage cost that every other school gets. Now, I don't know how you do the math, but I can tell you this. That's all they're going to get. They're not going to get that, and it's going to go out to bid in the end, and it's going to be the low bidder within our budgets. Now, I'm not in a position to go in and tell you what their square footage is because that went to the committees. I'm not in a position, but I can tell you this.
Senator Nicholas, you're coming up on your time. Go ahead.
When we built the budget, we built it on the School Facilities Commission recommendations on their best guess of the then current square footage that they're allowed by statute, by the process, multiplied by the same square footage. And my notes here show $227 a square foot. Where the rest is, whether it's more square footage, whether it's Roosevelt, whether it's that, I would defer to the people that should be the experts. But I can tell you that the budget was built fairly.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Senator Bebout, second time, go ahead.
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of things, members of the Senate. First of all, the Appropriations Committee has been very fair and how they've approached all the standing committees on issues that they deal with. And this isn't about criticizing the Appropriations Committee. We're talking about the process and how people get involved and be able to understand that. And that's where the disconnect has occurred. And I hope that if one thing happens out of all this great discussion we're having about this, that if this amendment fails and you see the other schools on this list, that we don't come back next session and try to mess with that. And I would hope that this entire body is very cognizant of what we're saying here today. If you defeat this amendment, we come back and you have all those other schools that are now saying, okay, I understand what happened. I understand we had an amendment. I understand we lost. I understand that things were changed around and all the arguments we're having today, that we don't come back again and do it all over. And that's one of the main reasons I'm involved in this, because we're going backwards. My tall colleague from Natrona County, you're right. You know, we have a process here. We ought to stick to it, and it's a confusing process. Put yourself in the position of these other schools, only seeing part of the information. Put yourself in position of myself representing three of these particular schools in Fremont County, understanding what's going on when I see numbers in different situations, and all of a sudden I'm presented with something totally different. And it's not like I didn't talk to the Appropriations Committee Chairman about this 3 months ago. This is not something that just showed up. I could see it coming, and I was trying to get a handle on it. And now we're here today, we have to make a decision. I tell you what, up or down, let's support the process, because the process does work. And believe me, what will happen whether we pass this or not, we're going to do the right thing for the state of Wyoming, and that's where I'm coming from. But let's learn from what we just talked about today.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Yeah, you do. Yeah, this is a good discussion. You know, you like it when the blood's in the water, Mr. President. It's a good day. Mr. President, as I've sat here and looked, I've listened and listened for the last couple of days, and there are a couple of things I just wanted to mention. You know, first of all, the process is what the process is, and my good colleague from Natrona County was right. You know, we had that process in 2009, and I remember, I think it was last year or the year before, we came down here and we changed the process. Wasn't School Facilities Commission, wasn't anybody else. In fact, I think it was a bill that came from the Education Committee. We changed the process. We said, gosh, let's have lighting. Let's look at lighting, and let's look at ventilation, and let's look at everything else. And we did that. And I remember looking at that. I remember standing up here and saying, we're really going to – the kids really learn better if they have sunlight versus other light. I mean, I remember that. And I remember us talking, saying, you guys are going to change the shuffle. And indeed, we said, well, we changed the shuffle, and we shuffled. So as I'm sitting here and listening, this is what I hear is – there was a shuffle in the deck initially back in 2009. Up came the shuffle, and there were some people who looked at that and said, by golly, we've got to have look at this, this, and this. Let's reshuffle, and maybe we'll come out better. So we reshuffled the cards. Meanwhile, in Natrona County, they did what they were supposed to do in 2008. They did what they were supposed to do in 2009. They did what they were supposed to do in 2010. They did what they were supposed to do in 2011, always playing by the rules. Well, now we come down here, and that. You know what? It looks like Natrona County drew a straight flush. I'm sorry, but that's what it looks like. But now the answer is, you know, we don't like, it's not fair that they have a straight flush. So let's solve the problem. Let's reshuffle again. If all we do, and going back to my good friend from Fremont County, he's exactly right. If all we do is every time we come down here, reshuffle the deck, we'll never understand the process and we'll never do it. I mean, we'll never get this done. And so, It's a huge amount of money, and it ought to give everybody pause when you look at that. And that's emblematic of not just what's going on in Natrona County system-wide. I mean, you look at the 10%. You take 10% of all these numbers and figure that's architect fees, and that ought to just make you pucker. So, you know, there's lots of places in here we can do better, but this bill isn't where we fix that. and I don't know that we fix it by reshuffling again. So I think, obviously I've got vested interest in Natrona County too, but I don't think the answer is to reshuffle and see if you come up better next time.
Senator Burns,
Mr. President,
this is your second time.
Square foot. You look at the square footage and you look at the amount. It's simple math, and it works out to $425 a square foot. Actually, I think even a little more, because this is back from November, and the total there was listed as just shy of $233 million. Now we're up to $275 or $285. The second point is, we've heard a lot of talk here on the floor saying the process. We should stick with the process. Well, pardon me, but this is part of the process. The process is ongoing. Whatever we do on this floor, part of the process is then it's going to go down the other end of the Capitol building, and they're going to continue to be part of the process and back and forth. And to sit there and say, well, we voted for something in 2009 with fewer facts than we have now, but now we're stuck with what we did back then, I'm sorry, but there's a reason we keep coming back down to the Capitol each year to vote on bills and to vote on policy and to vote on process.
Thank you. Senator Coe is the primary sponsor on this, so let's get this in before he rises. So go ahead, Senator Raffis, being secondary sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I want to begin by saying to my colleague, the chairman of the JAC, that we did screw some things up. I don't think we gave him the information we should have given him, and I think that was forwarded on by the Select Committee because we didn't have accurate data at our last meeting. We actually forwarded a placeholder, Mr. President. We had a blank space where the amount of money that we were trying to decide to forward to the Natrona County bundled project was on our recommendation, and we actually forwarded the number 75 to 125 million with no details, no idea on really what that was getting us, but just a general sense that we were continuing to support that project without all the information we needed. And knowing that it wasn't going to be for another month after that until we received the education specifications from the consultants that were working on this project before we knew what it would cost. And now here we are today with that cost estimated somewhere around $165. So it still exceeded our recommendations, but that was where we had it on the list. And we didn't have the level of dialogue and debate that we should have had, and for that I apologize, Mr. Chairman. Now, regarding why we sent it forward and the concept of the reshuffling, once again, we're not reshuffling. This is a concept of whether we're going to allow aggregation of schools to the highest ranking position or whether we're not going to allow that as we move forward. The concept of drawing a straight flush, I think it's an excellent analogy, but I think what we've got in this case is an ace, a 10, and a 4, and we call it three aces. That's effectively what we've got right here, and that's not a reasonable approach for our solution. When we look at this ed specs that we received, again, after we forwarded the recommendations, this square footage did come into play, and it was interesting because the square footage recommended for one of the projects was somewhere over $400 per square foot, but once again, that was information that we didn't have as a select committee. So, Mr. President, it probably was a little bit irresponsible of us to forward that recommendation to the JAC at that time. We forwarded a recommendation based on too little information, and here we are now having to debate it on the floor. I consider myself properly admonished, Mr. President, and in the future I won't make that mistake again. Thank you.
One more for Senator Coe. This is your second time, Senator Jennings. Go ahead.
The reason that it was late on ed specs is for one reason. Natrona County had been told they already did it in their regular work by the Facilities Commission. The new director came in and said, no, you didn't, and held it back, and at the last minute we had to go in there and get it. That's why you got a placeholder. It wasn't anything else. It was because new requirements had been placed on them. But set that aside. I would like to go back to what my colleague said the first time. This is new and we've never done it. You bet it is. But we do new things in this room every day. And if the Wright brothers didn't do something new, we'd all still be walking instead of flying.
kill this amendment and let's get on with it.
Senator Coe's comments will cap this conversation. There will be no further questions. Go ahead, Senator Coe.
Thank you, Mr. President. And this has been a spirited debate, and I don't know any other place where I have more friends in one place at the same time other than Facebook. And I got more friends on Facebook than I ever wanted. But I probably have as much probably have more history right here on the school CapCon stuff than probably anybody else. I'm not bragging about that. When we started this process in 1997, I remember standing up and presenting the MGT study that we did at that point in time. And co-chaired the first school CapCon committee. And we did such a wonderful job that the Supreme Court promptly found it unconstitutional. But anyway, that's ancient history. But we used to pay for schools locally. We used to require districts to have skin in the game. We don't do that anymore because of the Campbell decision that said that building schools will no longer be a function of local wealth. It'll be a function of state wealth. So that's why we're building schools. And guess what, folks? We built close to $1.3 billion worth of schools. And we put some wonderful schools on the ground. Wonderful schools on the ground. I've got a wonderful new elementary school in my community. It's full. We built great schools. And there was concerns that we wouldn't put good schools on the ground with our first director. And we did. And we have. And we'll continue. But this concept of bundling, I'm not sure where it came from, because maybe I'm just naive and I go to all the meetings and maybe I missed it that we put them all together, because all I've ever looked at is the needs index that was presented to us. I've gone by that because the School Facilities Commission, we're on our third director, you know, you listen to what they have to say. Just like the water folks, to my good friend, the tall senator from Natrona County, listens, you know, the Ag Committee listens to the water folks. Anyway, what I'm getting to is that I think we ought to slow this process down a little bit. You know, we aren't cutting Natrona out of the mix here. There's $108 million in there to kick it off. There's more planning money in there, design money in there to do stuff. What I'm kind of concerned about is what the good chairman of appropriations talks about down the road a couple of years. Because if you'll remember, once we have the $100 million balance in the school foundation program, after we funded Hathaway, we started diverting those above the $100 million cap dollars to school CapCon. A couple years down the road, that school foundation balance is projected to be about $43 million. So I think we ought to slow this process down. I'm supportive of doing stuff in Casper. Know we need to do stuff. The number one priority is Kelly Walsh. Let's get that going. We are not going to forget about the other projects. I just don't think we ought to do it all at one time. Thank you for your consideration and a great debate. And, man, I've had a lot of fun. It's been great.
Thank you, Senator Coe. There is some money rolling around in here, so I'm going to ask that this be given a roll call vote and ask the chief clerk to do that this time. Question before us, second reading amendment number one, Senate file 105.
Barnard, Bebout, Burns, Case, Christensen, Coe, Cooper, Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Bonflatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
That amendment has passed. That brings us back to the bill. I don't believe there are any more amendments. Any further discussion on Senate File 105. Senate File 105. Senate File 105, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Bebout, did you have something for us?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, may Senator Case and I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this morning with us, we have some people that have come all the way from Fremont County, and they were able to be able to get through all of the blizzards and make it here, and they represent the CWC Upward Bound people, and with them is Gary Trautman, the director, and Mark Harris, a former member of this body. Would you all please stand? Senator Case, would you like to say anything else?
Well, Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, I'm taking care of your chair, Mark. I'm doing a good job. We've got Sarah Whiteplume and Michelle Woodward from Shoshone High School, Marissa Jackson and from Shoshone High School. I'm sorry, Sarah's from Riverton High School. Julia Headley, Precious Lee, Cody Eagle, R.J. Brostring, all from St. Stephen's Indian High School. Gary Trautman is the brother-in-law of the Appropriations Chairman, I might point out, and they're also accompanied by Perry and Stanley with CWC's Upward Bound program. Welcome to the legislature. Thanks for coming. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, and we hope that you enjoy your day in Cheyenne. It appears that we're kind of the banana belt in the midst of all this other weather out there. So, bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. President. Consent list, third reading today, is as follows. Senate File 30, Highway Patrol, Game Warden, and Investigator Retirement. Senate File 32, Workers' Compensation Amendments. Senate File 35, Education Reserve Accounts. Senate File 39, Adjustment of Child Support for an Adult Child. Senate File 40, Judicial Salaries. Senate File 45, Alcoholic Beverages Manufacturers. Senate File 47, Omnibus Water Bill, Construction. Senate File 52, Dyslexia Screening and Response.
Thank you. Would anyone like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Seeing no bills being taken off, having been read three separate times, the question, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 30, Senate File 32, Senate File 35, Senate File 39, Senate File 40, Senate File 45, Senate File 47, Senate File 52. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Cooper, Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 30. Are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 30, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 32, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 32, 30 ayes. Senate File 35. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 35. 30 ayes. Senate File 39. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 39. 30 ayes. Senate File 40. Are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Amrick, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 40. 23 ayes, 7 noes. Senate File 45. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Perkins, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 45. 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 47. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 47. 30 ayes. Senate File 52. Are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Amrick, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 52. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 30, Senate File 32, Senate File 35, Senate File 39, Senate File 40, Senate File 45, Senate File 47, and Senate File 52 have passed the Senate. Other bills on third reading. Senate File 25, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 25, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Public Records, an act relating to public records, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
And there is an amendment, and it is the Meyer Amendment. I'd ask that that amendment be read in at this time.
Senate File 25, third reading amendment number 1, delete the second Burns Committee of the Whole amendment.
Senator Meyer, would you like to move this amendment and speak to it, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 25 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, I looked at these amendments and actually voted for them at the beginning of this process, but I took another look at them and I thought that perhaps we went a little bit farther than what we needed to. I think have I given the time, I think we could probably come up with something that's the porridge is just right, but I think we're a little bit closer to the right temperature in the bill's form without these two particular amendments, Mr. President, and so I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Questions, comments in regard to this amendment? Senator Burns, go ahead.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, I think we had this discussion thoroughly yesterday, so I'll just leave it at that.
Further discussion? Go ahead, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the amendment. I never spoke yesterday. I sat and listened through it all, and
You know, for all of us, this was a compromise reached by all of the parties involved, and they worked their tails off. This came back last year. We had a hard time in committee with it. I was there. Everybody came up, and everybody lost a piece of something out of it, and they all agreed. And we had something that came out that actually was workable. And now we've decided in our infinite wisdom that we're going to change what everybody spent a lot of time putting together. They spent a lot of time in committee putting together. And this bill isn't the world's best, but it's the best of what is there that's workable. And I really urge you to support this amendment and then to support the bill going forward. Thank you.
Senator Jennings, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think my colleague is exactly right. There's a lot of work put in on this. This amendment was in the bill. And it was taken out at the last minute. And then thank you for the senator from Sheridan. It was put back in. If you take this out, remove this amendment was put in yesterday, you're opening up a can of worms that you're going to, all of those people out there that are elected, except us, remember, except us, are going to have a third party in their decision-making process. It's kind of like when I go down to the buffet for breakfast, and there's oatmeal, and there's cantaloupe, but I'm trying to be on a no-carb diet. So I go over and get the meat, and I get some eggs. But then there's another person over here who says, no, you should be on the South Beach diet, so get some fruit too. And if I don't get the fruit, they get to write about it in the newspaper and tell me how stupid I am because I didn't include fruit in my diet. And that's what you're asking for in the simplest terms you can get. You have a third party who's got the power of paper and ink telling you how you should think because it's in your pre-decision. Think about how we make our decisions here. Think about the things you write down. Think about the emails you get. And if we take that yesterday's amendment out, you're telling the press, tell me what to think.
Go ahead, Senator, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I feel personally kind of responsible for us having this debate again because it was my motion in Management Council to assign this to Judiciary. And I did so. So here you go. But we did so with a reason. And, folks, this is about restoring faith or having our public have faith in our local entities and an open government. And quite frankly, as we come down here, we hear a lot about what's going on in the nation and the dismay and the lack of trust in their government. This is all about openness. It's all about doing the making sure that the public knows what's going on. I'm not afraid of the press, and I'm not intimidated by the press, and I'm not here because of the press, and most of you would know that. I think they're halfly probably put me in the hospital a couple of years ago over some of the stuff that was written, but that's part and parcel of the place that we find ourselves in. You know, I just think that if you don't pass this amendment, and you pass the bill as it is, it's a step backwards. We're better off with the current state of the law than we would be with this bill. I urge you to support this amendment.
I'm going to go ahead, Senator Rothfuss, and then we'll go to Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's clear that we do need transparency in government, and it's clear that we do need the people to understand what's going on. But to me, it's also clear that we need people to have a conversation with their elected officials that they consider to be a private conversation, and to be able to have that elected official respect that privacy. And without this amendment, we don't have that. So it's true. We're already exempt from it. But it would be nice if somebody could go to their city council person and have a conversation and say to that city council person, I want this to be off the record, or more particularly, to be able to send them an email that they consider to be a private email and say, these are my concerns, and have that be off the record. And if we don't have this amendment in place, that's not going to be the case. We're getting to the point where transparency begins to infringe upon the privacy rights of the constituents. And that's not what we want, Mr. President. Mr. President, I can't say this is a perfect amendment. It isn't. We have a hard time drafting those perfect amendments here. But the reality is, the system that we're putting into place that precludes the privacy rights of the constituents is a flawed system. So either we're going to have to look at this more, which I don't think anyone really wants to do a lot of, or we're going to have to maintain this amendment for it to be protecting those interests. There's always a balance, Mr. President, between trust, between privacy, between transparency. We have to find that balance. And without this amendment, we're moving away from that balance. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'm going to go to Senator Case, and then I'll go to you, Senator Christensen. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, you know, a few years ago, a family lander had a son that was arrested in New Jersey for having a firearm and stored properly in his car, according to Wyoming standards. And when he was stopped by the policeman, he disclosed that he had a firearm. He was in jail in New Jersey for a long time. The family was incredibly ashamed, Mr. President. They came to me and they said, is there anything you can do? Would you write a letter to the prosecutor in New Jersey? And I wrote a letter and I sent it to them. And that communication, they sent me the entire court record and said, look at how absurd this is. The New Jersey standard versus Wyoming. I learned all about that. But it was pretty embarrassing thing for that family to have a son in jail in New Jersey. And, Mr. President, I protected that communication. I protected it on this floor to this day. But I'm telling you the circumstances of it so you understand one of the many things that's happened over these 20 years that I've served, that I've had a very private deal. Because people, when they want to influence you about what you have here, they reveal very private things. Maybe it's about their sexual orientation. Maybe it's about something that happened to their children. Very private things. Sometimes they reveal them in paper. Sometimes they, like I mentioned yesterday, at a coffee table, we're having coffee, and they show me the file. They send me emails. It's very private. They're trying to influence me by revealing private things about their lives that they expect me to remain to keep private, and I'm going to. And this law, sure, it exempts the legislature. But that's the ridiculousness about it, because why do we exempt things that apply to us and then expect other people to hold the same thing? Now, you can't tell me that someone can't reveal something very private in a written, oral, or some other communication to a city councilman, county commissioner, head of a college, I don't know, that influences their particular situation. They have a right to expect that to remain private. And we have the obligation to protect that right. You've got to figure out a different way to come at this animal than to suddenly say everything you get is public record, because that will destroy the fundamental of government where we rely on communication with these wonderful citizens that we work so hard to serve.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, members of the body, I suspect this isn't our first rodeo. I think that the members that are in this room today have been involved in the public process, and probably the majority of us have seen or experienced or heard about this public process that is ours, and walking into a meeting and having a vote taken, and you don't know what happened. You don't know what the conversation was. You don't know what was considered. You don't know what the issues even were. It's just that we walked in, sat down, and all of a sudden, the body at the head of the table took a vote, and we have no idea what they did in the community's best interest and why. That's what this is really about. This is about public process, public involvement, and letting this community know, wherever it is, this state, these small communities, letting the people have confidence in what's going on, letting them, removing that curtain and that shadow of doubt. That's what this is about. I appreciate the commitment of some of our other members and their personal commitments, the people they talk with. But what we're really talking about here is the public good, the public process, and being able to appropriately guide those conversations to respect the privacy of individuals
but keeping this public work open and transparent and letting the community know and have a say in the process.
You know, sometimes in discourse, it's good to say the first thing or the last thing you intended to say first, and I think it would bring clarity to your position on the amendment, and that's not criticism of anyone, but let's tell folks right up front where we're at in regard to the amendment, and then we'll have it. Go ahead, Senator Doxeter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Right up front, I'm obviously in favor of the amendment. No surprise. I do agree with one of my earlier colleagues, good senator from Natrona. Yes, we are opening something up. We're opening up access to government. We're opening up access to the public process. It's not about paper and ink. It's just simply opening up public access to that which governs our whole process. It restores trust in government. It builds good fundamental government for the amendment.
Go ahead, Senator Burns, and I believe this is your second time.
Mr. President, the first time I got up, I'd hope we'd avoid a repeat of basically the debate yesterday. Mr. President, it's almost cross purposes what we're talking about. Those who seem to be for the amendment are talking about transparency in government. If you look at the legislation, what's in the bill now that this amendment would strip out, most of that protection, almost all that protection, is for the private citizens who are communicating with the government officials. I don't think anybody who voted for the amendment, the Committee of the Whole amendments, I don't think any of them want secrecy in government. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what anybody who's spoken against the amendment is talking about. We're talking about your constituents, my constituents, and the constituents of the 400 other political subdivisions that are going to be affected by this bill. And we're talking about their privacy. Earlier this morning, we had Senator Barrasso stand up there and point to a headline that said, Wyoming is the best-run state in the nation. And I don't think we can necessarily take the credit for it or the governor. I think this is something that permeates all the way down. And because it's we're volunteer, we're citizen legislators, and there's citizen office holders all the way down through the state. So if we're the best run state in the nation, by God, we better change that.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. President, I think we're in a great debate here, and there are certainly some important issues that we need to consider. I'd like you to consider this, members of the Senate. What's next after this bill? If we pass this, last year we defeated this. It's coming back, and it's been a lot of good work. But I just want to ask the members of the Senate, what's next after this? You know, I see sometimes government reaching into every telephone call we make, everything we do. What's next?
And again, I would remind you to try to focus on the amendment that's before us. Senator Meyer, would you like to take your final shot?
Thank you, Mr. President. And I think we should focus on what's in the bill. And there's a lot of discussion about the protection of the individual and that communication. And let's look at the bill on page 7. It says the custodian shall allow the right of inspection if the information has been transformed into a statistical or aggregate form without naming any individual owner, operator, or producer, or a specific data gathering site. So there is some protection in it already about the individual. And then I thought about myself. Yeah, we're exempted from it, but then I thought about every time I have a law drafted, we get that little form, and it says, who do you want to disclose this to? You know, and I always check the box. Anybody that wants to see what I'm doing can see what I'm doing. You know, so I guess I exempt myself from the exemption every time I'm drafting a bill. So as far as putting this on level ground, I try to put myself on the same level ground as the political subdivisions and those folks that represent them. And I think a lot of people in this room do the same thing. Because we want to have that interaction. We want to get that information so we can make the best decision. If you try to make a decision or do a law or do anything at the local level or the county commission level in a total vacuum, without involving your constituents, you're not doing your job. If you open it up so people can see what you're doing, they're going to say, you're doing it right, you're doing it wrong, can you do it this way? They'll give you some information, some feedback, and you'll have better local government. That's what this is about, better government. Mr. President, and I look at the specific language on these things, and I say I think there's a better place we can go to make some protection. And the backdoor deals that can be made if one person can now contact every person individually and you're basically circumventing the process, if you could just say if they contacted two people on any board. And that would be maybe the mid-ground and where the porridge is just right. But I don't have time with LSO and appropriations to draft amendment that just says two rather than you have to go to a quorum or everybody. But, Mr. President, I think that if we leave it in the current form that it is, we're not having the best kind of government at the local level, and the process isn't open. And I ask that that you vote for this amendment because I think in the long run, it's going to provide better government and better representation at the local level also.
Thank you, sir. The question before us is in regard to the third reading amendment number one, Senate file 25. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Those in favor of this amendment, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. That this amendment, third reading amendment number one, has passed. That brings us back on the bill. Senator Scott, would you like to speak to the bill, please?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, there's been one feature of this bill that has bothered me the whole way through, and that is that I've heard it said a number of times, the legislature is exempt. There's some features in here that don't work when they apply to the legislature. They don't work when applied to the legislature. They don't work when applied to the local government. And I thought, frankly, we were going to, and we did for a while, cure the worst of that. I said, well, with that cured, it's safe to go forward. So, Mr. President, reluctantly I rise to say I'm going to oppose the bill, and that's why. I think it is a mistake to have an exemption of this magnitude for the legislature where we're going to treat us differently than we treat others. I think that's a mistake. I think this bill has that feature. I think it needs to go back and come back in the general session.
Further discussion? Go ahead, Senator Burns, on the bill.
Mr. President, I also am going to be voting against the bill. And on the point that the call center from Natrona County was making, a number of us have gotten a lot of calls and emails on this bill from a number of interested parties. And, frankly, from those who have a vested interest in seeing this bill pass, a lot of the pressure we've not been getting is to include the legislature. That's so we could vote this bill onto other people. If you vote for this now, I guarantee, come next session, you're going to be sitting there explaining why it doesn't apply to the legislature.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Driscoll, go ahead.
I think that's exactly easily to explain why we do give ourselves the exemption. Now that we've had great discussion. I was very moved by the great Senator of Fremont County on his really personal end of it. And we do deal on a much more personal basis with people on a direct deal. There's a reason for the exemption. We're dealing directly with constituents on very personal issues. The huge part of what this bill is about, it's about how our local governments go about doing their work, and it's not usually about the very personal stories. It's about how our budgets are formed. It's how our weed and pest money spent. So often these meetings, you go to them, and it's exactly what was said earlier. The vote comes up, and it's 7-0, and you can't even get a good explanation of how they came about it. This allows people to see how those decisions got made. And that's exceptionally important. I'm with the good senator from Goshen County. I'm not afraid to have some ink on my hands back to the ink. If they want to turn you black, they can look at it. The stuff that needs to be exempt is the really, really personal end that happens on these personal issues. And I guess I haven't been a county commissioner, but I have been on a lot of the other boards. Didn't spend a lot of time dealing with that stuff. Spent huge amounts of time dealing with stuff that dealt with the constituents directly, day to day. And that end of it needs to have really good, honest public discourse. It also gives the papers and the people out there an ability to see what you're doing in an honest way. It's a lot funner to see what comes that's facts, that's defendable, than it is a bunch of gossip that came around that they've got a way to put that in the black without actually crossing the line. So I really encourage you to pass the bill the way it stands, and we can defend it.
Senator Jennings on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the bill. A few minutes ago, I could have been on and for the bill, but after we took the protection off there, I'm against the bill. Several years ago, before I had the pleasure of joining all you guys down here and lady, I was upset with my local paper because they were publishing articles about my industry that I felt were not true. So I went onto their online, and I got stacked about like this. And I called the publisher and the editor, and I said, I'd like to buy you lunch. And I'd like to talk to you about some of the things that you're putting in your newspaper. And they, of course, free lunch, they showed up. We sat down, and we started going through the articles. And one of the things that I didn't like that they did is that they take a quote from somebody, and then they'd stick their own idea in and then finish the quote. So it made it look like that piece of their opinion was part of the quote. And the editor stood up for that practice. And, of course, you know, I don't get very argumentative, so I went to great length to say that wasn't proper. And he finally said it, and I think it's what we have to know here. He said, my primary job is to sell newspapers. They're a for-profit company. Their job is to make a profit selling newspapers. And if we open up the doors to the thought process of our officials, and I agree with walking into a meeting and hearing the vote and like to know how it happened. But who was the organization that pushed this bill? What organization had it on the top of their list that this be the legislation that was passed this year? Did we have a bunch of grassroots people out there saying, we got to have this? No. It was the Press Association. That's who wanted this. Who came out yesterday after we put the amendment on there and said, if you can't take the amendment off, kill the bill? Was it hundreds of constituents calling you, telling you that? No. It was the Press Association. So let's not fool ourselves about what we're doing here. This, I have gotten some emails from constituents, and I was in a conversation with one of them through the electronic media, and I asked him, I said, if you came to me with a very personal issue that you thought needed to have legislation, how would you feel if that your situation was in the front page tomorrow? And he said, no, that's not what the bill says. And I asked him, where's your protection in this bill? It's not there. I agree we should have an open government. And I don't think there's any county commissioners or city councilmen out there that worth their salt that wouldn't take a couple of minutes to a constituent and say, this is what we did. But now you're opening the doors and you're putting a big brother on the shoulder of these guys, and they should be wary. And I think I'll close and I'll ask you, if we need to be open, which I think we do, and we open the door, then why can the press print a quote with an unnamed source?
Are we ready for the question? Question being called. Senate File 25. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Fleitern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Senate File 25, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 25 has passed the Senate. Senate File 33, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 33, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee, Department of Enterprise Technology Service, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, and it's the Nicholas Amendment. I'd ask this be read in at this time.
Senate File 33, Standing Committee Amendment. Third reading amendment number one, page 12, line 9.
Senator Nicholas, would you like to move this and speak to it, please?
I would. Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number one, Senate File 33, and ask for your support. We had talked about the creation of this new enterprise services division within the government, and we talked about trying to make sure that we have a quality program that serves the needs of our agencies and make sure that it doesn't get in the quagmire of some of the concerns that you've heard expressed over the years from the Central Administrative Services Division. So what this does is require them to maintain and establish and annually evaluate a quality management model so that we're aggressive in making sure that these IT services remain at their highest quality.
Go ahead, Senator Landon, do you want to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, I appreciate the sponsor bringing this. I think it further defines, you know, what we're up to here. I just wanted to take a moment to remind everyone, though, I hope maybe we'll go back and visit with some of our agency folks throughout the next year, share that information with Joint Appropriations and others. I just wonder what sorts of impacts this is going to have. I think this amendment helps. So let's get that passed, and then we can see how the new IT agency is going to work. Thank you.
Any other commentary on the amendment? Senator Schiffer, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, and I hear my colleague from Natrona County loud and clear. Let me remind the Senate that it's absolutely standard. When we do a management audit on an agency, in this case, it will address this bill. We always come back somewhere around 18 months later, and management audit requires that we get a report and say, how are we doing? And we do it for every single audit that we do. It's our way of coming back and saying, are we making progress? What's happened with it? And it is absolutely part of our procedure with 18 months kind of on workload. 18 to 24 months later, we'll come back and check and see how we're doing with this stuff.
Further commentary? Senator Nicholas, do you have any furthers? Okay, let's vote on third reading amendment number one, Senate file 33. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Any further discussion of the bill? Question being called on the bill. Senate file 33 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
Senate file 33, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 33 has passed the Senate. Senate file 85, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 85, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, General Permits, an act relating to administrative procedure, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments, and I believe the first amendment is the Schiffer Amendment, and I'd like to have that read in at this time.
Senate File 85, third reading amendment number one, page 3, line 5.
Senator Schiffer, would you like to move and speak to this amendment, please?
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 85. Mr. President, what this does, it goes in on page 3, line 5, and adds the department authorization to use a general permit shall be available for public comment for 30 days. Any aggrieved party may appeal, so on and so forth. Mr. President, what concerns me about this bill is it can have some very far-reaching consequences. A general permit can do some great things, or it can be very onerous and destructive. One of the things that we all as a state resent highly is when the folks in the White House and the executive agencies that spring from that, from the executive branch, dictate to us one size fits all. It doesn't work that way. It just flat doesn't work. Sometimes one size fits, and sometimes it just doesn't fit at all. It seems to me that a general permit can be applied. It is one size fits statewide. There'll be times when that's a good fit, when it works. Absolutely. But there are times this state is so diverse and the areas covered by the Environmental Quality Act are so broad that there will be instances where one size does not fit all. And then we need to talk about it. And that's what this amendment does. It gives people the opportunity to talk about it if the one-size-fits-all doesn't work. Mr. President, there is an appeal process, and what I say is it's got to be an aggrieved party. You've got to have skin in the game. In other words, you can't have a, a drive-by appeal, you know, if you will. You got to get out and have a sidewalk appeal. I guess that's about it. You got to have skin in the game, or you can't take an appeal. But if you've got skin in the game, if you're injured in some way, then you should have the right to say one size does not fit all. If you're not aggrieved, roll her through. That means one size did fit, and it's appropriate. It's appropriate then. I ask for your support on the amendment.
Senator Nicholas, thank you, Senator.
President, I'd ask that the amendment be divided.
All right.
Division 1 would be the first sentence. Also on the third line, it'd be ending comment for 30 days. Division 2 would be the last sentence. Any aggrieved party may appeal the authorizations provided by this in this act.
Everyone understand the division? Division 1 being the first portion of the amendment going down to the third line, ending with the period after the word days. Division 2 being the second starting on third line with the word any and ending at the bottom of the amendment. Go ahead and speak to that, whichever division you speak to first.
With respect to division number 1, it seems to me that that's probably not a delay. It's openness. I'd urge you to vote aye.
Division 1. Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would ask that the body vote aye. And I want to compliment my colleague from Johnson County. You know, we had some very good discussion about this, it seemed like weeks ago, but it was only a couple of days ago. And truly, this needs to be done, and I support this.
Further discussion in regard to Division 1 of the amendment? Okay, question being called on Division 1 of the amendment. All those in favor of Division 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Division 1 of the amendment has passed. We're back on the second division. Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President, I'd urge you vote no on Division number 2. The purpose of this is to facilitate the movement of permits, not to delay them and create another appellate process in the interim. I'd urge you to vote no on two.
Go ahead. In regard to this, second division, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't actually mind the appeal process, but I think that this seems to be a one-size-fits-all appeal process because aggrieved seems to be a door so wide anybody can walk through it. And I'm just curious as to whether an outside environmental group could say, God, by golly, I'm aggrieved. This is really grievous to me. And try to go in there through the appeal process. Now, I understand the good senator's language when he said, I was injured and I can appeal. Now, that means there's harm, there's damages, there's something that's solid. I'm not really comfortable with the word aggrieved as it's used in this sentence, and I need some more information, I guess, maybe from some of the lawyers on the floor as to what actually the word aggrieved means within this sentence, or maybe from the tall senator from the Trona. I don't know.
We are on the second division. Go ahead. I believe Senator Hines was up first, then we'll go Senator Scott. Go ahead, Senator Hines.
A false security or a false avenue to go ahead. So I think there need to be and as I understand it, it would be on individual permits and then wouldn't affect everything. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I think we need this division also.
Thank you. Senator Scott, in regard to the second division.
Mr. President, the previous speaker made my point.
Thank you. Senator Driscoll, second division.
Chairman, looked up what aggrieved is. It's pretty easy on the legal end. Aggrieved party is an entity whose legal, monetary, personal, or property rights have been denied or infringed on by another party's action. And I think that speaks for itself. This is a great amendment. It blocks out people that have no rights to be in there, and it leaves the people that have the needs to have access to get in and actually file an appeal. So
I spoke against the bill. This makes it where I am wholeheartedly in favor of it, and it protects private property rights really well. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. And you know, it's nice to be aggrieved. You can be aggrieved. I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're going to have a discharge permit into the Middle Fork of the Powder River, which we were talking about the other day. And if you think that that somehow will impact you because that'll make it into, let's see, that goes up and eventually goes into the Missouri, the Elson of the Missouri, but ultimately makes it into the Missouri and the Pacific. So you can be aggrieved in the bayous of Louisiana because the discharge in that watershed aggrieves you and somehow contributes to the loss of your shrimping or your other problems in the bayou. So while it is injured, that aggrieved is a pretty wide open door, and ultimately almost any environmental group or anybody who does anything can find someone to represent that would be aggrieved somewhere, someplace, somehow with water quality or air quality.
Thank you. Is there any other comment in regard to Division 2? Question being called in regard to Division 2, virtually the last sentence of the amendment. All those in favor of Division 2, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed to Division 2, please say no.
No.
I think we should stand. All those in favor of the division, please stand. All those opposed to Division 2. Division 2 has passed. That dispenses with the amendment, both portions having passed. We are now on to the next amendment, and third reading amendment number 2, Senate File 85, would be the Case Rothfuss Amendment, and I would ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate File 85, Third Reading Amendment Number 2, page 1, line 5.
Senator Case, would you like to move and speak to the amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move Third Reading Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 85. Mr. President, this is a sunset. It's a little bit more than a two-year sunset because the bill itself is effective immediately, but this takes it as if it was a July 1 effective date, and it puts a sunset on the specific section authorizing general permits to June 30th, 2014, Mr. President. I bring this because I think the bill needs some more work, Mr. President. I think that I understand some of the pieces, and I hear maybe if we could have quiet, Mr. President, in the body. Mr. President, I understand pieces about things like mosquito spraying, that how do you do a permit for each place, and it really needs to be broad-based. But some of the other things about development that involves penetrating geologic formations that are different as we go around the state and have unique aspects, and drainage basins that have unique aspects, I don't think that's all belongs to be lumped together. So I sort of think we need to think about this just a little bit more. And I want to give us the time to do that, to let the process proceed uninhibited, but come back with a sunset so people maybe ought to think about refining this in those areas where it doesn't work. That's why I proposed the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Case. Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking on and against this amendment, there's a lot of things. If you don't like the bill, kill this amendment and try to defeat the bill, but this really makes it almost unworkable. And if you consider what we're trying to do here, you know, this was brought to this body by the department. There's an issue out there that affects a whole lot of activities in our state. The Wyoming NPDES permits, where there's 13 general permits, 1,766 have been issued. Stormwater and wastewater, 4 general permits, 4,409 have been issued. The UIC, 10 general, 721 issued. The pesticide issue that we're talking about, we haven't even got involved. We don't know the extent of that.
If you pass this, delay the effective date, you're going to put the department in another unique situation. We already have litigation going on about all the stuff that has happened for the last 25 years that's now being questioned. Now, if you put this into effect so the department will continue to do what they're doing, and then when it's over and the date comes up that they have to delete this section, what happens at that point? So you just leave the department totally in limbo. Everything here is in limbo, so I would ask the body to defeat this. If you don't like the bill, vote no, but don't try to make it unworkable on the department.
Go ahead.
And
thank you, Senator Bebout. Go ahead, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's not a delayed effective date. It is a function that forces us to revisit this legislation a couple of years from now to make sure that what we want to happen is actually happening. Now, this is a bill that I've already voted yes on several times because I am certainly sensitive to the concerns of why we need this general permitting system in place. You know, we can't just abandon that system and then try and have all of these permits reauthorized or leave the DEQ in limbo. But I'm not yet satisfied, Mr. President, with the approach that we have. I think the amendment from our good senator from KC has helped, but I think we should take another look at this in a couple of years and see if there are unintended consequences. And the thing that will force us to take a look at this in a couple of years to make sure that we're doing this right is this sunset clause that we're trying to put on. Basically says that we're going to need to look at this by June of 2014. That'll give us two more chances to look at it to make sure that DEQ is acting in a way that is consistent with what we're looking for in these general permits so that everyone is going to be happy. The appeals process is something else we can revisit. We had some concern about how that would be played out. Again, that's something that we'll be looking at if this amendment is put in place and this bill proceeds. So, Mr. President, I don't want this bill killed. This is an important bill. But, Mr. President, we need this amendment in place to ensure that we can do our due diligence in the future, that this will come back to the body for further consideration, and that we can make sure that the proper safeguards are in place. So on and for the amendment, Mr. President, I believe this is a good check for the system so that we can continue to have progress, which we need, not increase the bureaucracy, which is something we all want to avoid, while at the same time ensuring that the process does what we want it to do.
Thank you. Senator Jennings, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Everything my colleague from the Ivory Towers just said is true. We should keep track of them. We should know what they're doing. We ought to have a count on all these permits, and we do. It's already in place. We get that information. If we want it more, pick up the phone and call the director, and he'll give it to you. I speak against this amendment, and the reason I do is because one of the things that we're trying to fix here is to keep this out of the Supreme Court and keep DEQ working and doing what they do for the state. I think that the amendment was put on by our colleague from Johnson County was an excellent amendment. I thank him for it. But what we're going to do here with this, rather than putting an initial reporting requirement in, when we're putting a sunset in, I think we're casting a shadow of doubt from this body saying, well, we're going to put this general permit in there, Mr. Chief, or Mrs. Chief Justice, but we're not quite sure that we should. And I think that there's probably some organization out there that's behind the original lawsuit that will zero in on this and say they really don't disagree with us because they put the sunset on there. Let's keep the reporting up. Let's keep tabs on what we're doing. Let's make sure the comment process and appeal process all stays in there for the people that are affected by this. But let's not send a message out there that we're hesitant in our decision. And I think that's what the sunset would do.
I'm going to go to Senator Hicks, and we'll get back to you, Senator Driscoll. Go ahead, Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment, this is a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. If, in fact, the general permitting process isn't working, it'll automatically come back to this body in the form of a court decision. So this is really just extra burdensome stuff to throw on the legislative body 2 years from now. So looking for solutions to problems that currently don't exist.
Thank you. Go ahead, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, on and opposed, to the great senator from the ivory tower. I have every faith that you're going to be here 2 years, 4 years, and 6 years from now. And that's exactly what this body does. We don't need a sunset. It's not working. We'll come back and we'll introduce another bill to do a fix. We do it every day, all the time. There's absolutely no reason to sunset this law. This is, if it's unworkable, we'll fix it.
Are we ready for the question? Senator, okay, just a second here. There we go. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. The bill says that general permits shall be issued solely in accordance with procedures set forth by regulation adopted by the council. Procedures for the issuance of general permits shall include public notice and opportunity for comment. What this would do is to say that unless you come up with a change in legislation by the effective date of the sunset, you won't be able to issue general permits anymore. Now, our sunset's good ideas. We use them all the time. In the Telecommunications Act, we've had them, and without the sunset in the bill, we would never come around to look at the new changes in the world that need to be implemented. That's why we put them in, because we think, sounds like a good idea, but we don't know all the ramifications, and we want to force ourselves to reconsider it at a certain point. Might be good. We might want to expand it. We might have to trim it in a little bit, Mr. President. That is the whole point, and that's why we put sunsets in bills. This lets the program proceed for more than 2 years because it's an effective immediate program. We can look at all the kinks, and we can decide if it works for everything. It's a broad spectrum of application, Mr. President, some of which are probably perfectly suited for general permitting. Probably some things out there that also we're going to learn in the process aren't suitable for general permitting. Thank you, Mr. President.
Are we ready for the question? Question being called in regard to third reading amendment number 2, Senate File 85. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed, and I believe that brings us back on the bill, back on Senate File 85. Question being called on the bill. Senate File 85, having read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk, call a roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
Senate File 85. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 85 has passed the Senate. Bills on general file. Ross, go ahead.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into Committee of the Whole to consider only the budget bill, Senate File 1.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Senator Johnson, would you like to approach the chair?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm on 72. Okay. Committee of the Whole will come, please come to order.
Does the reading clerk reread the file, or we just jump into it? Okay. Reading clerk, please reread the file.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations.
I do believe that we left off, and our first section for consideration is Section 072, Retirement System. Senator Nicholas.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 72, Retirement System, and turn it over to Senator Hastert for explanation.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate, member of Senate, Section 72, Retirement Systems, 13,573,285 was the GovRec. The JAC trimmed that back a little bit. We have a footnote one that speaks to the Chief Investment Officer, Senior Investment Analyst, and Senior Investment Officer, that they'll be full-time, serving at the will of the director. The footnote one spells out that the salaries will be determined by the board with a maximum as well as the director's salaries, defining benefits and requiring a report, Mr. Chairman. Also, JAC adopted the governor's recs of $250,000 for investments contracts. We reduced the governor's recs by the $66,209 to correct the benefit amount approved by the governor for contract provisions. And then $414,000 for computer programming expenses, $156,000 for file conversion change orders, and $41,000 for the contributions for the game and fish warden's retirement account, Mr. Chairman. And that's kind of the highlights of there. Try and stand for questions.
Any further discussion on Section 72?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I did want to point out to folks, if you look at the footnote, we've authorized new positions in the retirement board, and they are executive management positions, including investment officers, and we've also authorized what I would call an X-band out-of-usual level of payment or salary for those. These are going to be state employees. We wanted them to be state employees and part of the plan, because it seems to me if you're going to be investment officer for the plan, you ought to be part of the plan, and so you have a stake in the game. I think that's what the committee agreed to. But these are much higher salaries than we typically find others, but we're finding that with respect to the retirement account and the levels of investment they're making, they're finding these investment folks, when they can hire them, they stay for a few months or a year and they leave. And this is, you were talking about $5 billion or so under investment. And the idea was to support the board's request to fund these or to create the positions and make them executive management and then pay higher levels. Now, we're not offering the same type of salaries for the treasurer's office, and they too have large amounts under investments. So it's worth noting that these positions are paid for by the retirement account, by essentially some of the funds that come off the retirement account, but it is a move that deserves letting you know what's going on. Thank you.
Any further discussion on Section 72? All those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt Section 72, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Well, that was 3-0. Section 72 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 80. Senator Nicholas.
I move Section 80, Department of Corrections, and turn it over to Senator Von Flatern for explanation.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 80, Department of Corrections,
Once again, you had your usual computer stuff going on, transferred about, approved some software. What I'd like to point out is footnote 5, which says adopted the governor's record, $2.5 million for sex offender treatment. That is related to footnote 12 on that same page where we transferred some money. So it was all internal funds, tobacco funds. There was no increase in general fund funding for that. And other than that, we took out, there's a couple of positions that were removed, three to be exact. They do have 1,298 employees. They have a budget of about $311 million. And other than that, I stand for questions, and I call for the questions if there are none.
Further discussion on Department 80, Senator Schiffer.
Campbell County went by too quick. I'm trying to figure out on the tobacco cessation program. Mr. Chairman, the prison system is theoretically tobacco-free and has been for a number of years. It's good. That's a great deal. But the tobacco program there is another one of the diversions that it's quite expensive. And I'm trying to figure out whether, did anybody ask, do you still need it? Is it still a viable program, you know, or after a guy's ceased smoking for 18 to 20, does he really need therapy for the last 6 months before he gets out? Is there any process to say, do you really need this because you are tobacco-free and have been so for about 5 years?
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've never been accused of being faster than or quicker than the good senator from Johnson County before. Okay. I must have been mumbling. Thank you for that. But we actually had no discussion about the tobacco cessation program, so I need to find out a little bit of information about that, and I will bring that back to you.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. Just a little more clarification on the sex offender treatment, number 5, that line item, would be helpful. I guess I'm just not up to speed with exactly what's going on there. I know this august body spent quite a bit of time the last couple of years talking about that particular program. So would appreciate just a little clarification.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got to catch up a little bit on the it's the exact verbiage on page 40 of the budget book, actually. Page 51 and 52 of the budget book deals with the limited funding for the sex offender assessment and treatment was extended by way of a budget footnote in 11 and 12. The existing budget footnote requires the agency to submit a 13-14 biennial budget request, which they did in this budget, for a full sex offender treatment program. They're requesting to repurpose general funding from units for outpatient abuse, revocation transition unit to fund a sex offender treatment program. Full funding will permit best practice approaches. And they say that 25% of current or prior sex offense convictions, so this funding will impact a large portion. And so the governor recommend approval of request, repurpose $2.5 million of general fund. And they're taking it from the units 9052 residential ITU, 9053 outpatient substance abuse criminal thinking, and 9054 revocation transition unit. So the standard budget general fund has been reduced in those units. So they actually use tobacco. Most of this will be contracted. So it goes into that part of their budget. But it was tobacco and federal funds, no general funds in this, setting up a complete sex offenders program.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Just by way of further explanation, the issue of whether or not we're going to provide sex offender treatment has been sort of hotly debated, and we've gone through one administration, now a new administration. A prior administration was of the belief that simply it doesn't work. Why spend the money? I would say that over the notwithstanding that sort of belief, we have a department who has come back each and every year and said that's just not right. It does work. You can make a difference. And they're saying, look, it makes no sense to release these folks at the end of their time after they burn their number without any sort of treatment and just let them loose. And they believe that there are programs that are working. They've provided some good demonstration. The governor recommended that we fund that, and this year we concurred.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm beginning to see through the smoke already. Mr. Chairman, I'm not here to comment on, I think the sex offender program is fine. But earlier when we started on this bill, we started talking about the drivers that drive health care costs, particularly Department of Health. And this, the $2.5 million, that's tobacco funds. That means that instead of going to the Department of Health where and used for health, we divert it. The Appropriations Committee that squeals like a pig under a gate because health costs so much says, oh, yeah, let's keep diverting it. If you want to have a sex offender program, have one. Put general fund money in it, have it ongoing, and return health care money back to the Department of Health. It's fine. I'd like to visit with them. We're going to contain costs in the Department of Health. But there are now over 95 programs out there where basically health care dollars get dispersed, and now they're dispersed far enough to provide sex offender treatment. And it seems to me you got to start saying, well, let's start sending it back. Let's see whether it's actually worked, see what works. And if you want to have sex offender programs, kick in some general fund and have one. But for goodness sake, send back to the Department of Health money that got siphoned off during the hard times to fund the tobacco program way back when. And I don't mind people hollering about the health budget, but if they're not willing to do something, I wish they wouldn't scream quite so loud.
I think it's a dental fund.
It's tobacco fund.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the good senator from Johnson County who always seems to say things better than I can. That's exactly why I called attention to that line item, is that, you know, you might recall yesterday I asked the question that we might try to gain some understanding of what has happened with the mental health and substance abuse monies that are dispersed out through the Department of Health coffers. And, you know, it is difficult. It's difficult to get your arms around some of this. And so the explanation that we have here is exactly as the good senator pointed out. You know, we're borrowing out of this fund and this fund and this fund to create something that we're going to do at the penitentiary. Well, I think that has an impact in our hometown, in some programs that are out there. And so I appreciate the points made by the good senator.
Yes, I got to find out.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I would point out that the new programs are general fund. Now, there are tobacco funds appropriated through the department. It'll take me a moment to go through the budget. We'll show you what the tobacco funds, but they're already expended. There was a small increase of tobacco funds for supplies, but if you look at the cheat sheets, the general fund was used. Having said that, I think that's true. I mean, you have an issue here with respect to cost, and this is one of the big agencies, one of the big gorillas out there. And having said that, we want to make sure that the recidivism rates are low, We want to make sure that our constituents are safe when folks are released.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to point out the Wyoming Tobacco Settlement Funds. The income from this fund is restricted for the purpose of improvement of the health of Wyoming citizens. So you can debate whether sex offender classes are for the improvement of the health or cessation from smoking is the improvement of the health, but that's what those tobacco funds are. So if they're using this program, I would think that that's appropriately used.
Okay. All those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt Section 80, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 80 has been adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. I just confirmed. I mean, we'll go through the budget, but all the tobacco funds that are in the budget, which are older dollars, are for substance abuse at the prisons. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would move Section 81.
I call for Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Nicholas.
What, are you hungry? You don't look like you're starving.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
It's my friend.
You heard the Majority Floor Leader's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion is carried. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears our desk for the moment.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.
Do we have any announcements? Do we have any announcements? Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, your Rules Committee, number 12, will meet immediately after we recess in the President's office to consider the revisers bill. It shouldn't take very long. Get a sandwich, bring it in, we'll work, and then we can get you to your other committees.
Thank you. Go ahead, Senator Vebow.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet just as soon as we can, so members of the committee grab a quick snack and let's head up to room 302. We're going to talk about Senate File 93, Casper, Aquifer Land Acquisition, and if time allows, Senate File 102, State Lands Management. And, Mr. President, it's our intention to be able to allow everybody who wants to testify on Senate File 93, so we may come back and do it after adjournment today.
Thank you for the heads up. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Appropriations Committee will meet at on adjournment today to consider the following Senate files: 26, District Court Judge Increase, Senate File 36, State Parks Acquisition of LX Barham Ranch, Senate File 43, State Parks Acquisition of Land, Senate File 97, Wyoming Retirement Center, and we've added to the list and will consider Senate File 65, Applied Agricultural Research Funding Program.
Okay, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. That's a change from the previous notice, 8 a.m., where we will take up in Senate in meeting room 14, we will take up Senate File 89, Pioneer Hunting Licenses, Senate File 79, Wildlife Trust Challenge Account Extension, House Bill 10, Game and Fish Additional Elk Licenses, if time permits, and House Bill 36, if time permits, Paramutual Permits.
Mr. President.
Members, I'd like to have some of you step back on the floor because when we act on this next motion, we need a quorum. So encourage these people to come back. All right, with that, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to add to the list Senate File 71, Invasive Aquatic Species, and say that if there are any other bills that have appropriations, we didn't let us know because we'll clear that this afternoon.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be down here in just a minute, Senator, so we can get this final action on this one. Is there Are there any other messages? Seeing none, you heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carried. We are at recess until 1:30 this afternoon.
I voted. I